718-982-3060. What up, y'all? It's the kid Emilio Sparks in the building right now. I got Doja Rays and Double J from Trilogy Records. Was popping, people?
What's up? What's going on, SI? Yeah.
Thank you very much. Doja Rays, for anybody who don't know who you are, why don't you please explain to everybody listening who and what Doja Rays is all about?
Coming from Virginia, the Northern Virginia area, D.C. area, moved up to New York about 3.5 years ago. But before we did that, I linked up with the Double J down actually where we went to college, College Radio, James Madison University in VA. And we formed Trilogy Records there. We started putting out my records in 2001 with Hard Times. Since then, putting out single after single after single. We put out 6 singles on vinyl, you know, did the whole independent radio promo deal, and Jay's been stepping his game up on that. But as far as me goes, yeah, the 6 singles, now the album's out, you know, the first full length, which took a while, but we're happy with the product. People are happy with the product, and now we just got a new distro deal with Trilogy, and we're ready to, you know, keep going, put out some new
drums. What made you want to go the independent route rather than going the commercial route and trying to get on to, I would like, maybe, let's say, like, an organization like Def Jam, who's like the Yankees, instead of coming up through a farm club and creating your own? What was the mentality? Why did you guys want to start doing your own label?
There wasn't a choice, you know? It's not like we had other avenues. It's not like, you know, we could just go to a major and be like, put this out. That's not how the game works. We knew the only way that we were going to succeed is by doing it independently and by starting to move units and creating the buzz. And I mean, in the beginning, it wasn't an option. It was just, boom, we're going to do the independent thing. Music. That was the mentality. As we went through the game, and, you know, there was a couple dealings with some majors, but it never really made sense. It was like, you know what, we want to keep creative control. We need to keep going with this and pushing independently as far as we can take it before we, you know, do align with the major. And I'm not against aligning with the major. It's just not the right time.
But do you feel, in your opinion, money and greed have watered down hip-hop to create this commercial, like, hip-hop pop?
Rap music became popular. I mean, it became the culture. You know, now it's everywhere. Rap is the popular music of today's generation, you know, of today's culture. The hip-hop still exists. It's still there. We're trying to bring it back because the pop doesn't last forever, you know? But good music does last forever.
I think in today's climate, people are being dumbed down with the whack lyrics. As long as they have a catchy hook, yeah, and a beat like the Laffy Taffy, where it's so redundant, it becomes a problem for most MCs. But certain labels follow the formula, and I think that destroys the real artistic value in hip-hop.
We're right on the same page with that, because that's what it is. I mean, the general public, they need stuff that's easy to digest, and they like, you know, hooks that they can remember and sing in the club, and that's where hip-hop is gone. That's where rap is gone. It's because it's gone pop, and it's out there to such a wide audience that it's got to be in the lowest common denominator for these people to really get it. And I think that is a problem, because it's keeping a lot of dope artists from doing things that people who really like the music and who really listen to lyrics could respect a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of commercial artists out there who are dope lyricists, but you're right, they're dumbing down their lyrics because they've got to make it easily digestible. For an artist like me who won't dumb down the lyrics, it makes it a little harder for me to get my music across, because maybe people can't understand what I'm saying in the music because I'm saying too much, or they're just listening for the catchiness.
I think the audience is very receptive to what you do. I like the fact that you pick producers that keep this kind of credibility, such as the Beat Miners and Shuko. So I think you guys actually create something that the audience respects, including myself and other people, to listen to underground hip-hop and respect the culture. But what goes into the formula, from selection to beats and just overall your style of how you write? How do you come across? What is your approach in hip-hop?
You know, selection of beats is pretty easy. We get the discs. A lot of them are from Shuko. We pop them in. You know, I blaze something up, start listening, and usually when I hear it, I know it, and I'm like, boom, I want that one right away. I put the beat on and just start flowing.
How did you link up with the Beat Miners?
We were up in New York. It was before we moved here, performing, and Spin Mata was actually a verse I had written over an old beat for my man J-Dub's mixtape called Spin Mata. He gave me the concept. So it was over this old beat. Storyline kind of the same, but it was just one long verse, no hook, nothing. But I would perform it live. And our man, Mr. Dave, Cole Wax, he was in the crowd that night. We asked him to come out to the show, and he loved Spin Mata. He was, after the show, he was like, yo, I love that joint. Y'all need to put that out. you know, that's not our beat. That's not. He was like, oh, don't worry. You know, I'll get you a beat by either Primo or the Beat Bonus. And I was like, wow. I mean, this is right. You know, this is what, 2001.
Yes.
Putting out one single. So I was like, you know, please, that would be lovely. 2 weeks later, we had a Beat Miners, and they sent it to, this was before I met them, they sent it to us, and so I rewrote Spin Mata, you know, three verses with the hook, and then we went up to New York. It was still before we moved to New York. We went up to New York and got in the studio with Walt and D, and just made it happen.
You talked about Spin Mata with the Beat Miners. A little known fact, you used to DJ.
Yeah, man.
Everyone thinks that DJing is easy, and we can get girls, and we get free alcohol, and this, that, and the other thing. Instead of me and all the other DJs talking about it, I want it from the MC's perspective, who used to DJ, who knows why you wrote that song. Just tell everybody at home listening right now, smoking, what Spin Mata is all about.
You know, there are those things with DJing, like you said, the girls and the free drinks, and there are perks. I mean, it is a lot of fun being a DJ, don't get me wrong, and most of my experiences as a DJ were a blast. I have a lot of fun looking back on it. But people don't know the stuff that DJs really go through, like the wreck that we catch, especially club DJs. Like, the tables are on the floor or on something, you know, close to the floor. Drunk people are knocking into the table, spilling beers on the tables. You know, girls are coming. And really, Shorty came up to me and asked me, and I quote, can you play some hip-hop, you know, like Britney Spears? I couldn't even respond. I was just so blown. The things that go on that people don't see, you know, dealing with club managers and not getting paid, you know, and there's a lot of wreck. And to me, what we coined that as was Spin Mata, the ails and the afflictions, especially of a club DJ, what goes through behind the scenes, what people don't see.
There's only so many times you can play a whole record without getting tired, or a 50 Cent record. And every girl is just dancing. Now, it's nice to look at them jiggling their ass. Don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful thing. I think that's the main reason why I got into DJing, was for the vagina, you know. But when it comes down to it, it's just like, damn, I'm selling out before I even started a career.
Yep, man, you have to. Like, you have to play to the women, you know. Dudes are going to be pissed, maybe, like the real hip-hop heads, if you're playing the... You know, the crap, if you're playing the commercial. But they're going to be pissed, too, if the girls are leaving.
Definitely. I've been on your MySpace page.
Yeah.
I must say, I want to be Doja Ray's, because some of these girls are wearing I Love Doja Ray's t-shirts and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, you know what? God damn, I want some internet vagina. So I think I'm gonna be a Doja Ray's impersonator.
Yeah, MySpace got serious, man. Like, I joined back in the day, 2003, just to talk to, you know, holler at girls. This was before the music, just to holler at girls, you know?
Yeah, right?
And you know, kind of progressed, and they put the music feature on. I turned my page into a music page, got tracks up, and really kind of focused more on Doja Ray's than just, you know, the flirting and the whatever. But it progressed. Then all of a sudden, I got featured artists. Somebody hit me up like, yo, how'd you get the featured artist? I don't know. But and that's when it really took off. That's when I was getting like 500 friend requests a day, and boom, 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 and then I became a MySpace celebrity.
I added him as my MySpace friend when I found him through Jay's page. I was like, Ed.
Yeah.
So now I'm officially like in the Doja Ray's circle. So now I'm gonna leave him a comment, and I better get on that top 8. Or there's no more radio play here.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go take you through the top 8. I think. I met my girl on MySpace, man.
Yeah?
Shouts to Mia. Yeah.
I'm talking to one now on MySpace. The internet's tricky, though.
Well, yo, I met a couple before I met my girl.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't see the full body shot, don't go to meet her, because it she'll be a lot different in person than you think.
See, I've seen the full body shot. I went to go meet the chick. But she had Baraka teeth from Mortal Kombat.
If you don't see the smile, if there's no smile and no full body shot, it's a no-go. Plus, if the pics are really small, if there's only one pic, it's a fake profile. Listen, I know this, y'all. I used to spend all day at the day job on MySpace. I know about them fake profiles.
It's horrible. They get your hopes up.
Yeah.
First they PM you, and it's like, oh, you're cute.
Yeah.
I like your mentality, the way you work. You know, love who you took the pictures with. Because, you know, that's what it's about. Taking the pictures, posting them up there.
Right.
You know. So then it's like, all right, let me look at her page. And then I see, all right, she's cute, nice size, decent built. You know, I go to meet her. She's got Baraka teeth.
Just ask her to send you a picture of her smiling. If she doesn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've dealt with the same thing. The teeth.
That's freedom.
The teeth and the body. I learned the hard way, but, you know, that's what I do. I learn things the hard way.
But seriously, what's next for Doja Race?
Actually, we got a lot of things in the works, man. I'm about to put out the second single from the album. It's a little more time. And then when Misery Needs Company, the third track is called Fahrenheit. It features Sean Price and AG. Mm. And production by my man Arithmetic in Toronto. That's going to be one of the feature tracks on the next release. It's not going to be my second album, but Ryko, our distribution company, wants to drop something in May. So I'm working hard right now to get that finished. It's called Doja Race Presents Past, Presence, and Features. And Presence is like my presence. And it's going to be a bunch of feature tracks. It's going to be some new joints I'm working on, and then a couple of older tracks. And that's what it is, Past, Presence, and Features. And you know, it's not a mixtape. It's more than a mixtape. It's more than a mix CD. It's going to be a professional release, but it's not the official second album yet. I got to really sit down and get conceptual with that and try to put something together that works from beginning to end and you know, has a distinct flow. So that's what I'm going to be working on after this is done. I'm working on some joints with this cat, Skinny Man, in London. He's big over there. Shuko and I are going to keep working. Me and Born Unique are going to be doing a bunch of tracks together. And then I'm going to be, you know, hitting the road in the U.S. I'm getting back to Europe for a day in April, going to France for the first time, which is dope. Big shouts to my man, Jeremy. He's been helping us
get
this trilogy. Yeah, it's
going
to be dope. And then probably back to Europe in the summer. So, you know, 2006 is going to be, it's going to be a grind. It's going to be on the road. It's going to be recording. It's what I'm supposed to be doing.
It's kind of the last question. This is the generic question. We ask every MC this question because we like to hear the different answers, the how it comes out, and what's the artist's preconceived notion of hip-hop. Mm. For all your time and from all your efforts from DJing, meeting Jay in college, to the struggle to grind for 5 years before the album got finally released, and up till now, what is Doja Race's definition of hip-hop?
I mean, to me, hip-hop makes sense. It's been the one thing in my life that's been steady throughout my life. Hip hop is a culture. It's more than just a music, but to me it's been a culture. And I was introduced to the culture at an early age with Run DMC, and just being close to DC and close to an urban environment, you know, it seeped into me, and I've cultivated it and really kind of dove into the culture, and as I travel the world and as I see that, you know, it's not just only New York and DC and Cali and whatever, and as I travel and see it's through Europe and it's through Asia, and you know, my music's getting out all over the world, I see this is a lot more than just a snare and a kick and a bass line, you know, and some lyrics over top. This is what people are living their lives through, and that's why what I decided I wanted to do for my life. You know, I don't want to be behind a desk. I don't want to be, you know, in a factory or something. I want to be out there on the road, experiencing life, living the music, living the culture, and promoting hip-hop.
That's it. You heard it from the man himself. Go out, go cop the album, self-titled, Doja Race. What, can they find it anywhere?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, if you want to go to the Fat Beats and get it, it's, of course, there. But you can also go to Best Buy, Tower, Virgin, FYE. If they don't have it in their stores, they can order it. It's definitely online, you know, BestBuy.com, FYE.com.
All the websites, too, like Sandbox.
Of course, Trilogy Records.
Underground Hip Hop.
Our website is TrilogyOnWax.com. Coming soon, DojaRaze.com. For those of you that don't know, it's the DojaH Raze, RAZE. That's how to spell it. Google me, you'll find.
Foundation Media.
Yeah, Foundation Media.
Foundation-media.com. Check it out.
Him and Lee got that, you know, promotions and marketing lockdown. So we're doing things, man. The Trilogy's in it for the business, and I'm in it for the music and the business, and we having fun, and, you know, we're just going to keep going.
So that's it. You heard him from the man himself, Doja. Jay, you guys are fam now.
Right.
Whenever you guys want to come through, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to smoke the icky, well, Future Boy, you guys can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Just come through, and we'll just hang out with that. We'll be back, 718-982-3060. Jay, thank you again, Doja. It was a pleasure, my man.
Thank you.
Big up to Lee. Much respect.